everyone. You're listening to Trailblazers on afl.com.au. This is the AFLW official podcast, and we are just days away from season two kicking off. Sarah Black, award-winning AFLW journalist, joins me in the studio. Sarah, lovely to see you again.
Thanks for having me once again, Nat. Episode two for 2018. And yeah, only a few days away till round one. It's very exciting.
Yeah, super excited. Of course, the big game is Carlton up against their traditional rivals in Collingwood at Icon Park. Probably going to be another lockout with around 25,000 people, hopefully packing themselves into Icon Park. But don't worry, there is an outdoor area, an overflow with food trucks and big screens. So if you do miss out, you can still hang out there. And in, I guess, honour of the big game on Friday night, we will be having a chat during the show to new Carlton skipper Bree Davey, as well as the Collingwood captain in Steph Chiocci, who you both caught up with, Sarah, during the week. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But on Tuesday, we had the AFLW launch and you were there.
Yes.
I was there for bits and pieces. Matt Thompson got to do the good part with the food.
With it, yeah.
At the official proceedings, but I was there in the Yarraville Gardens afterwards. It was a really good day.
It was a really nice day. And I think what was most promising about it was that it was bigger than last year's season launch. There was more media there. There were more guests at the official launch. We heard from Gil McLaughlin.
He had his kids there, his girls. Like, that was really nice.
Nicole Livingston was also there, head of women's footy. She also had her daughter there. Even Paul Groves, the Bulldogs coach, he had his little daughter. He brought her along. She was, you know, she's about 2 years old or something. She was having a lot of fun playing with the little footies. So that was cute to see.
Family affair on
Definitely.
All accounts. No, it was really good. And obviously so much excitement around the second season of AFLW. And I really enjoyed how the captains were presented up on stage, but they were able to bring along an inspirational guest alongside them. So someone that they looked up to or someone that inspired them in their day-to-day life. And I thought that was just a really nice touch and something that is a little bit different to what we've seen before.
Yeah, definitely. It sort of went hand in hand with the AFLW sort of slogan, you know, to inspire, to create.
Dare to create?
Dare to create, I think, is
hashtag.
The...
Hashtag?
Yes, I think that's the slogan for this season. And, yeah, so there were a few grandmas who came along. Emma Zelke and Cara Dinellan both brought their nanas. Cara Dinellan's nana also wore a purple cardigan,
so
which was a really nice touch, I thought. Katie Brennan brought her dad, so did Bree Davey. And Erin Phillips brought her little niece, daughter of Sean Burgoyne.
Yeah, Lenny, super cute.
Yeah.
Very, very cute indeed. Now, as part of the AFLW launch, we had the results from the captain survey, and you can see all of those results on afl.com.au. There is a story up there at the moment. But interesting, the captains voting for who is most likely, in their opinion, to make the grand final. And Melbourne had 4 votes, Carlton 3. I thought that was really interesting. Adelaide, the reigning premier, totally snubbed.
Yeah, it is an interesting call. I was really happy with it because those two are my grand final picks. So yes, vindicated. No, but definitely there is a lot of buzz about Melbourne this year.
There is so much buzz.
They didn't really have too many list changes. You could only sign a maximum of 22 of your original list for the 2018 season. And most teams went beyond that and cut quite a few more players, but Melbourne didn't. They maintained their core
list. Well, they only missed out on making the grand final just on percentage.
Yeah.
It was probably that, was it the round 5 game against the Giants when
they lost,
which really cost them in the end. Aside from that, they probably should have been playing off in a grand final. Anyway, they were such a good team last year.
Definitely. You saw that the scoring power they had in that last round match when there was still a chance that they could make the grand final. They blew Fremantle out of the water. They kicked 10 goals. They set the highest score ever.
Ridiculous.
Which was immediately topped by Adelaide the next day.
I know, which is so sad.
But they showed that they could do it. And there's been a lot of talk about Mel Hickey potentially moving into the midfield, which will be really interesting to see how that plays out. It's obviously a much vaunted midfield already. So
she's looking very fit at the moment, which apparently Melbourne have been on this like really tough strength and conditioning program and have really upped the ante when it comes to fitness this year. So look out, other teams. I think there's a few warning signs that are out there.
Yeah. The flip side of it is, as you said earlier, Adelaide being snubbed. We saw the Crows weren't necessarily the fan favourites this time last year, and they proved us all wrong. So maybe it's a position that Adelaide want to be in. Maybe they're downplaying expectations a little bit because they like being the underdog.
Exactly. It's nice to fly under the radar sometimes. But you can't underestimate Adelaide, of course. Now, Daisy Pearce and Bree Davy were voted most likely to win the MVP this year. Obviously, Erin Phillips winning it, well, practically winning everything last year. She was an absolute gun. Isabel Huntington voted most likely to win the Rising Star. Do you have tips for either of those awards?
Unfortunately, I'm going to be really boring and agree with the captains. Bree Davy, I think, is going to really take the competition by storm this year. She was hampered a little bit by a back injury last year and still managed to finish third or maybe even equal second in the league BNF. She won Carlton's BNF off the back of five games. So a fully fit Bree Davy, potentially moving it up at the ground a little bit like Mel Hickey. That's something to look forward to. And Izzy Huntington is just going to be an absolute star.
I like it. I'm very, very excited. All right, before we get into our season preview, because last week we previewed the first four teams. We went in alphabetical order. So we did Adelaide through to Collingwood. This week it'll be Freo through to the Dogs. Before we get onto the season preview, let's listen to your chat with Carlton captain, the new Carlton skipper, in Bree Davy.
So, Bree, thank you for joining us here on Trailblazers.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
So I just thought I'd start with, what are your memories of that first game last year?
It's one of those things, it's just so surreal what happened, and it sort of took us all by surprise. So, I mean, initially the AFL was saying to us we'll get maybe 15,000 people, and even that was enough to make our eyes all brighten up and think, oh, how cool is this going to be? But running out and seeing, you know, 35,000+ people out there and people getting locked out was just absolutely incredible. And I think it's something we won't forget. It gave us goosebumps running out there and being sort of trailblazers and, you know, pioneers of the sport. So, yeah, just absolutely amazing experience.
Is there one moment that you'll really remember from that match?
I think just the raw excitement, and when we did run out, there was just so, you looked into the crowd and there was just so many people who just looked so proud that this was happening, and in particular, I guess the women that didn't get the opportunity to play, watching us run out so proudly, and you know, for me, I know personally for me, that's one of the things that inspires me and, you know, makes me want to sort of do them proud because they didn't get the opportunity like we're getting.
Now, Carlton went really sort of aggressively in the trade period and the draft. Will this be the missing link? Do you think you've got it?
Yeah, look, I think it's definitely going to help improve us a lot. And the new girls coming in, there's a handful of them, and they've all brought their own strengths to the group and their own personalities. And I think that's going to put us in really good stead. And, you know, I think as a whole, the league has taken a step up. So it's one of those things where, you know, from looking at our own improvement, massive, massive steps. But I'm sure other teams have sort of made those steps too. So it's, I think as a whole, it's going to be just another tough year and another tough comp.
Now, you've had two rookies signed in May who are now on the senior list in Madison Gay and Kerrigan Harrington. What can you tell us about those two players?
Yeah, look, both absolute guns. I mean, haven't played that much footy. And you can tell they're both, they're still quite raw, but they've got so much talent, and I think they're going to really take the league by surprise and be quite up there with some of the elite. So it's really exciting, and you know, Kerrigan Harrington coming from an elite setup in the basketball, and Mads with elite setup in the netball, they both sort of carry over what they've learnt from that too, which also helps the girls in the football environment.
Now, you've got Nick Stevens now in the back line, which is super exciting for you. Does it mean we're going to be seeing a bit more of you up the ground?
Yeah, no, we'll see. At the moment, I'll probably find myself in the back line a fair bit still. But no, definitely at some point hoping to move up the field. And, you know, that's sort of something I have up my belt. I can play sort of a bit more than one position, I guess. So, hopefully see myself in the midfield. I love playing through there. So as much as I love the back line, I do love playing through the midfield. So we'll just see how that comes about. And when we need me in there, I'll be in there.
And what do you enjoy about playing in defence? Like, you look like such a natural defender when you're out there. What is it about it that really attracts you to that position?
Yeah, look, it's. I feel like being a defensive-minded player has always been in my blood. I mean, initially when I was a young kid, I played a bit through the midfield and then played as a halfback with the boys. And then going into soccer, I obviously was completely defensive as a goalkeeper. So I guess it's sort of come natural to me because it's always been my natural mindset. It's always been to sort of sacrifice for the team and help in defence. And that's always been the way I've sort of gone about things. And I think one of the reasons I really like defence too is just because the little group you make back there is just so important, and you just know that the other girls have your back because they need you out there as much as you need them. So I think that's what I love about defence as well.
Yeah, great. And just finally, what's been the what's been different about this pre-season at Carlton? Like, it's second season round, there's been changes at all clubs.
Yep.
What's been different for you girls?
Look, I think it's we've just built on that elite environment, and you know, coming from into the first season, a lot of the girls hadn't ever experienced any sort of elite environment or professional learnt professional attitudes, I guess, in a way. So now that we're the second year in and we've got a lot of girls who were there last season, they've really carried that elite mindset with them, and I think it's allowed the coaches to be a little bit, in a way, when they've needed to, be a little bit more brutal on the way we go about things there, and making sure that we're ticking off what we need to tick off, and that we're living to the club values. So,
Yeah, great. Thanks for joining us on Trailblazers, Bree.
Perfect. Thank you for having me.
Bree Davey, the new Blues skipper, speaking there with our very own Sarah Black. Great job, Sarah. It was a really entertaining interview. Good to hear from the new skipper as well. And she was talking there about the professionalism of the Carlton Footy Club and I guess the elite environment that some of the new recruits have been exposed to. And I guess it's been a talking point already this week with their recruit in Taylor Harris, who's moved over from the Brisbane Lions, making some comments on a radio program where she said that the Lions have more of a chilled demeanour. And I guess she sort of spoke about how much she's noticed that Carlton is a more professional unit, in her opinion. And some Lions players have hit back at that. What are your thoughts on the war of words that has sort of broken out?
Well, you know, in one hand, it's actually nice to see that, like, this wouldn't be out of place in an AFL context. So it's nice to see that the girls feel so strongly about their clubs that this has happened. But it's interesting because Taylor, I think it was not a throwaway line, but I just don't think she really thought about the impact it would have, you know, up in Brisbane. Caitlin Ashmore is one who said that something along the lines of, we like to keep that sort of rubbish outside our four walls. So strong words from Caitlin there. People thrive in different environments.
Yep.
It could be that Taylor really needs a really strong, disciplined, structured environment.
Or more structured, not to say that the Lions aren't structured.
Yeah, and obviously the Lions didn't do too much wrong last season aside from losing the grand final by 6 points.
It was working for them, whatever they were doing.
Yeah, and Craig Starcevich is a really strong coach up there. He runs the Queensland Youth Girls Program as well. So I wouldn't necessarily read too much into it other than to look forward to the round three clash between Carlton and the Lions.
Yeah, it's going to be add a little bit of extra spice indeed. But interesting comments all the same. All right, let's get on to our season preview. And we'll start with Fremantle. If you do want to listen to Adelaide through to Collingwood, you can go back and check out episode 1 of Trailblazers on afl.com.au. But Frio, I guess, so much hype about them last season and they just didn't live up to it. They've got one of the best coaches going around. They finished second last. It must have been so disappointing. They had their injury issues, as we know, with Kiara Bowers, you know, tearing her ACL, but it seems like they already have some more injury issues with, is it Kelly Gibson and a hip flexor? Do we know if it's a season for her or is she still a chance of playing? Do you know, Sarah?
Unfortunately for Kelly, there's the real potential that it could be this season. It's a 6 to 8 week injury with the hip flexor that she picked up during the practice match against Fremantle. Yeah. And that brings her back at the earliest she could come back is round 5. That's if everything goes to plan. Yeah. This is a 7 week season, remember, and the grand final on the end in the 8th week. It's really unfortunate for Fremantle. They've also lost a rookie, Beatrice Devlin. She broke her finger and had to have surgery, and that's a 4 to 6 week injury, which seems it seems really unlucky for a broken finger to miss that long.
No good at all. I mean, how do you see the Dockers going this year? I mean, do you think there is the scope to climb up the ladder, or are you just thinking there's too many deficiencies? They have a pretty strong midfield still.
They do, and we will see Kiara Bowers come into the side about halfway through the season. They just don't want to rush her on the back of that knee reconstruction, which is completely understandable. 100%. And the good thing about Fremantle is that the only way is up. They can only improve. Michelle Cowan is a proven coach. She's really, you know, the girls are all behind her 100%. And they showed some interesting things during the practice match. Stacey Barr played a lot closer to goal than she has in the past, and she kicked 3 goals. She was a really threatening big key forward up there. Emily Maguire's another young girl they've picked up in the draft, another avenue to goal. So it'll be interesting to see if they can really hit the scoreboard and put some teams under pressure.
Yeah, most definitely. I'd be keen to see them go much better than they did last season because of the hype, and maybe it's just the pressure and injuries and everything that got to them in the end. Let's move on to GWS. They, unfortunately, someone had to win the premiership and someone had to finish last, and it was the Giants who claimed the wooden spoon in 2017. They just won the one game, which was probably disappointing, but they've got a new coach at the helm in Alan McConnell. How do you see Alan playing out with the Giants and their season?
Well, Alan's really familiar with the GWS setup. He's currently the director of coaching for the men's side. He was the first person employed for the Giants back when they were a startup club. Very familiar with the environment and taken on the additional task of the women's side. The feedback from the girls is that he's just been a wonderful addition in terms of he gives them confidence. He's really brought the team together and they're really enjoying their time playing footy once again.
And you can see that because in that practice match they had a couple of weeks ago against the Lions, they smacked the Lions.
Yeah.
So they're just they seem to be playing with much more exuberance and confidence. And it does help when you have someone like Alicia Eva, who's come over from Collingwood. I think she finished second in the Pies best and fairest last year. Just her experience. She's so knowledgeable about the game. I'm sure that's a huge impact on the team.
Yeah, she's an on-field coach for them, Alicia Eva. She's going to lead the New South Wales under-18 side. So it's just a bonus to have someone with her ability to direct on the field. They've also picked up Cora Staunton. You may have heard her name floating around. She's an Irish woman. She's a Gaelic footballer, very celebrated Gaelic footballer from Ireland, and she kicked 2 goals in the practice match with all signs that she's going to be an absolute natural.
I like it. And also we can't forget Renee Forth, who did her ACL and missed last season. She will be like a new recruit for them as well. So she's going to add a little bit to the Giants side.
Yeah, and a marquee player at that. So how nice is that just to have a marquee recruit just slot in your second season?
Can you see the Giants progressing quite far up the ladder, or do you think the bottom rung is still about the mark of where they're going to be?
I think it'll be baby steps for the Giants. We'll see a lot. They'll be a lot more competitive in games. They won't get blown away quite as easily. But still in those sort of bottom few rungs, it'd be great if they could make it up to 6th, I reckon.
All right, let's move on to Melbourne. And we spoke up the top of the show that they just missed out on the grand final by percentage. And Daisy Pearce spoke at the AFLW launch as well about how that hunger to get back to it and I guess to make a grand final, make amends, has really been driving the group over the summer. So that's something that's haunted them, much like the men's team, I think.
Yeah, it
was a bad year for Demons fans, wasn't
it? And percentage. I think percentage the killer for both sides.
Yeah, so they've really been motivated all summer. I think a couple of cross-code or code hoppers, as we like to call them, Erin Hoare being one of them. She's the netballer. So tall. I think she's one of the tallest players in the competition, but she's shown a bit in the ruck. And then Tegan Cunningham, she was a basketballer.
So Erin Hoare is a former Melbourne Vixen goal shooter. So, you know, the girls would just stand there under the ring, hand up in the air.
Never us, was it, Sarah?
No, definitely not.
Small mid-court players.
194 centimetres, Erin Hoare. So she's the tallest player in the AFLW by far.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you do an interview with Erin and then we'll snap a photo of it and pop it up on Twitter. I think we're going to have to aim for that at some point, or at least get her to come in to the podcast, because that will be amusing. How tall are you, Sarah?
153 centimetres, Nat, as you know. How tall are you?
157 centimetres. You're like the only person that I'm taller than, apart from my mum.
And don't you let me know it.
Sorry, I have to. I've got to claim something. What about Lily Mithen? Can she take a bigger step this year.
Well, speaking of shorter players, yeah. Lily is one of us, but, you know, infinitely more talented. She's so enthusiastic, Lily. I think that's the thing that comes across most. She's incredibly vocal on the field. If you're standing on the boundary, you can hear Lily. She's got really sure hands, and she's just not afraid to dive in to get the footy.
Yeah, which you need. And yeah. They've got such a star-studded lineup too, Melbourne, with the big names. You've got Mel Hickey, obviously, who we spoke about earlier, Daisy Pearce. And what about Bianca Jacobson coming across from Carlton? That's a really good addition as well.
It definitely is. The thing that stands out with Bianca is her marking ability. And she played mostly up forward for Carlton, but Melbourne are eyeing off a half-back role for her.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, which will be good to see. I think she reads the ball really well. As I said, she marks really well. She's got elite kicking skills, and she's also incredibly fit. You really notice her in the second half of matches as players start to tire. Jacobson doesn't.
Your prediction for the Dees?
My prediction is first. I think they can take it all out.
Ooh, big call. I like it.
Well, someone's got to win.
Well, that's true. You got to put it out there. All right, the Western Bulldogs. They finished sixth last year. 2 wins, 5 losses. The best thing about the Bulldogs is they get Katie Brennan, and we finally, the AFLW, get to see more of her, because we only saw her in 2 games last year. She had that nasty ankle injury, but we did see her in the VWFL season and she just tore it apart. So how exciting for AFLW to have, hopefully, a fully fit Katie Brennan.
Yeah, she kicked a leading goal kicker in the VFLW last season alongside Chloe Malloy, now Collingwood player, 35 goals each. And Katie was playing a limited season as well, you know, coming off that ankle injury. So, and she's just raring to go. She's so excited to play. And she can play, like we say that she's a forward, but she has the ability to go into the middle of the ground, you know, if the Dogs are struggling, and to just seemingly will the ball forward just through sheer force of, I don't know, personality almost.
Now, can the Dogs, this is the big question, and it happened in their AFL side, the Western Bulldogs were super inefficient in front of goal.
Yeah.
Last year, and it happened in the AFLW as well. I don't know what was going on down at the Winton Oval, but the women's side as well last year was so inefficient in front of goal, 31-51.
Yeah, they were taking a lot of shots, like on the run. They were taking them from odd angles. So, you know, if they can just sort of fix up where they're taking their shots from, like I know if it's easier said than done, yeah, you could see a much improved effort and they'll just continue to rise up the ladder. As we spoke about earlier, Izzy Huntington is another target up for. Deanna Berry's cross from Melbourne, yet another key for. Mid-forward, I'd say. And she could sneak under the radar, Deanna, with Katie and Izzy taking most of the attention.
And it was interesting, too, hearing Paul Groves speaking at the Western Bulldogs jumper presentation, yep, or the launch, I think it was last week, just saying how people can expect a very different Western Bulldogs side this year. In particular, much more kicking, yes, less handball.
Yeah, he spoke about, they just overhandballed, he said. I spoke to Debbie Lee afterwards and she echoed his words that they've just decided to really change everything. They've learnt from last year, they've learnt from their mistakes. And when you've got people like Emma Carney, Ellie Blackburn, they've added Jenna Brutton into the mix. She's won the best and fairest for St Kilda in the VFLW last year. Yeah, so they've got really smart ball users. So if they've got the balls in their hands and they're going to decide to kick, they'll be a lot more accurate.
Your prediction for the Doggies?
Rising to fifth, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I like that. It's a bit of an improvement there. Now, you were at that Bulldogs,
yes,
presentation night, as we just spoke about. They did something interesting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was really, it was nice, different, unusual.
I love it.
They decided to get the girls to nominate an entrance song, if you will, yeah, when they were getting their jumpers presented. So they'd say, you know, number 2, Katie Brennan, and a song would play as she went up and got her jumper. So some of the interesting ones, I thought, were Izzy Huntington, Electric Feel.
Love that song, MGMT.
Yes. Katie Brennan, Valerie, the mm-hmm. Amy Winehouse version. Someone had to pick horses, of course.
Yes.
I have a feeling she might have done it ironically. and that was Astor O'Connor. But my personal favourite was Ellie Blackburn. She picked Big Red Car by The Wiggles.
I love that. That's so random.
I know she's got a little nephew, Ellie, and she looks after him a bit.
So maybe that's on constant replay.
Yeah, and there's probably an in-joke there that we just don't get.
Now, this season you're playing at South Croydon?
Yes, that is correct.
So if you had jumper presentation night at South Croydon and they said, Sarah, you need to pick a song, what song are you picking to walk up to collect your jumper at?
Well, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I love Tay-Tay.
Hand in hand with football. You think football, you think Taylor Swift.
100%.
No, I think Shake It Off. I reckon that's a great, great song.
That's actually really good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yep, well done.
What about you, Nash? Playing for Camberwell, Old Camberwell, sorry.
Yeah, the Wellers. Look, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Starlight by Muse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just something a little bit different. Alrighty, that's that. Oh, and did you know that at the Witten Oval this year for AFLW games, you can actually get a beer that's been named after our podcast?
No way.
Trailblazer.
We've only had one episode and we've got a beer named after us.
Apparently there's a brewing company, I think Two Birds Brewing or something like that, has created a special AFLW beverage called Trailblazer, which is hilarious because that is the name of our show. So just...
And I have seen it. It's in a can. It's a blue, red and white can, fittingly, for the Bulldogs. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, that is our season preview completed. We did four last week. You can go check that out for this week. Before we move on, though, I do want to mention, because last week we spoke in our podcast about the three new rule changes that are in play for 2018 in the AFLW. And we were talking about last touch out of bounds, because that's the major one, and how there was a little bit of confusion with what hand signal the umpire was going to use, and I think Daisy Pierce was trying to give the umpire some tips. There's been jokes about the dab.
Yeah.
We had confirmation today from Hayden Kennedy in the umpiring department here at the AFL that it is going to be a lasso-style motion.
Yeah, above.
Above the umpire's head. So imagine a cowboy trying to lasso
something. A cow.
A chocolate bar, the Milky Way kid, whatever. Yeah. That lasso motion, which we are doing in the studio, which does absolutely nothing on radio.
We're going around the office, actually, all day today.
That is what you will see during the AFLW to signal last touch out of bounds. Your thoughts on the lasso?
It's inventive. It's very inventive. There will be absolutely no confusion, I think, which is a good thing. You'll know why the free kick has been paid.
It's a bit humorous.
It's a bit humorous. Someone was suggesting it's very similar to the free hit motion that the umpires do in the cricket.
Yeah.
In the one-day cricket for,
Free
hit.
Well, I see that. But, I mean, you know a netball when the ball goes out, you just point to the spot and then you point in the direction of the attack, like, can't it be as simple as that? I don't know. I'm not an umpire, but I just feel like maybe there could have been another solution. But look, this is what we've got, and it is unique. There's nothing else like it. So
keep your eye out for it during matches. It will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Or tweet us a video of your best lasso impersonation. I don't know. They're also going to wear chaps and... cowboy boots to the umpires.
That's the ultimate running gear right there.
Alrighty. Sarah, let's now have a listen to your interview with Collingwood captain Steph Chiocci.
Well, Steph, welcome to Trailblazers. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I thought I'd just start off with, what are your memories of that first match last year?
Well, besides tripping over backwards in front of 10,000 people on the pre-game warm-up, I actually remember being in the huddle at quarter time and hearing the announcement, so a little ding over the PA that there was actually a lockout and people cheering, and I didn't really know what it meant at the time, but reflecting on it now, what an amazing moment, and something I'll never forget.
Is there anything from that first match, like any moments from that match that really stood out? Like, you got crunched a few times in some big tackles.
Look, I think Jazzy's goal obviously sticks out in my mind, and getting around her. But I kicked the bloody first point, and we don't hear much about that. So, Jazzy's goal, and that was pretty much it for us because we only kicked the one goal. But, I think women's footy was the winner on the night.
So does that one goal, that makes your point so much more important then, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I had the first point, first free kick four, and first kick. But, no one ever talks about it, so... We'll move on.
You guys had a fairly slow start to the season, lost your first three matches. What's going to be different this time around?
I think we know what to expect this time around. I've said it before that a lot of the girls that were drafted for season one, unless they'd been involved with the exhibition series, they hadn't really had a taste for what it's like to be in the elite environment with elite coaches. So we've learned a lot over the journey, and you know, our second pre-season, I think we're fitter, we're stronger, we've done a lot more competitive work at training early on, which I think is really important when you've only got a 7-week season. So really looking forward to the challenge.
Now, your coach Wayne Siegmund's been fairly forthright about the need for versatility this year. That's his big mantra. Where else are we going to see you?
Probably on the bench, I'd say. Yeah, look, I've no doubt I'll have stints through the back line and probably through the midfield as well. So I feel a lot more comfortable through the midfield. But yeah, look, I'd love to go up forward at some stage, but we'll see how the forwards are going, whether they're kicking goals or not.
Now, speaking of forwards, some of your new players, Chloe Malloy being one of them. Who are some of the other new players that we should look out for?
Yeah, I think, Chloe's, you know, going really, really well, and I think she can play anywhere, but hopefully she kicks some goals for us and continues that form from the VFL. But we've got a couple of really good youngsters, and Sarah Dargan, who I've really liked training with, and she's showing a bit of spunk at the moment, and she's a half-forward flanker who has exceptional skills, and for her size, she's, yeah, really, really quick and versatile. So I think she'll fit in really nicely. Obviously, we lost Darcy to a collarbone injury, but we're hoping to get her back for the second half of the season to help us out through the back line. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone like an Eilish Ross gets a game as well. Just a natural defender, really strong, quite a fierce competitor.
Now, you're a school teacher. You're back at school now. What are the students happy to be taught by the captain of Collingwood?
Yeah, I haven't met the students this year yet because I've got the day off today and I'm going to have the day off on Friday. But look, I'm really lucky to be able to do, you know, two jobs or two things that I love, footy and teaching. And my school's very, very supportive. But my kids are great. I get to coach them in our AFL program out at Parkdale as well. And, you know, it's great to see so many girls involved in that program now. So, yeah, I really enjoy what I do.
Now, we've just got a few quick questions for you. It's a segment we like to call Quick Hands.
Yep.
We had Beck Goddard do it last week, so you're backing up from Beck?
Yep.
Yep?
Yep.
So, favourite movie?
Ooh, A League of Their Own and Sound of Music. Don't judge.
Dream holiday destination?
I actually really like Bali, but I love to go to the Maldives.
Last book you read?
I'm reading Patricia Cornwell's Dust at the moment.
And finally, who's the coach's pet?
Ooh, probably Holly Whitford. Yeah, she's up there. Georgie Parker's up there. Yeah, there's a few.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us on Trailblazers, Steph.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Steph Chiocci there. She is very entertaining. She's outed a couple of her teammates there too. As the
Not much hesitation there. Either. Like, it was a little pause to think about it and then just bang, I'm going with it.
I love it.
The two girls she mentioned, Whitford and Parker, are actually rookies. So, you know, if you're wanting to be impressing the coach to try and get a game.
You need to suck up a little bit, don't you, if you're a rookie? Come on. Sound of Music, though. There's no judgment in our studios here at AFL House, of course. I hate musicals, but when I was a kid, I used to play Sound of Music and I'd watch the movie every weekend at my auntie's house. It was like a ritual.
Were you
I think that's why I hate musicals now. Because
overexposed.
Yeah, but yes, Liesl.
Yeah, always. Dancing Ground, The Greenhouse, whatever it is.
So not a bad choice of movie. No. A League of Their Own too, classic. I love it. All right, thanks to Steph and Bree for joining us on Trailblazers this week, and well done to you, Sarah. Before we do move on, though, let's talk about a feature that you've done. You've been working very hard on this. I know about 5,000 words or so.
Yes.
That is about to drop on afl.com.au on Wednesday night, and that is the Inside the Magpie's Nest. So you were lucky enough, Sarah, to spend some time within the four walls of the Collingwood Football Club. Just give us, I don't want to give too much away because you have to go read this feature. I am told it is excellent. I haven't read it yet because it's not on the website. But I will be having a read. Just give us a little bit of insight to, you know, basically what you had access to.
Yeah, so it's going to be a two-part extravaganza, as I keep calling it. I'm very grateful to Collingwood coach Wayne Siegmund and footy ops manager Matthew James for giving me the access they did. I was able to go down to two training sessions on the Tuesday and Thursday Go into some line meetings, what else did I, weight sessions, out on the track. I could talk to the girls as much as I wanted. And then on the Friday, they played their practice match against Melbourne, and I was fortunate enough to go up into the coach's box for
a
quarter.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was very exciting. So you're going to be able to read all about it in the two-part feature.
What was Wayne... Just give us a little bit of an insight, a sneak peek. What was Wayne like in the coach's box? Very calm. I know it was just a practice match, yeah. But, I mean, most people tend to be the same. Was he quite a calm figure?
He was, actually. He was very very steadying, I think, is the best way to describe him. He was very good at pulling everyone together, pulling all the information together and keeping things on track. It was very impressive to watch, actually.
All right, Inside the Magpie's Nest, dropping on afl.com.au on Wednesday night. Please check that out. And we do, of course, thank the Collingwood Football Club for allowing Sarah access inside their four walls. Should be an interesting read. Twitter questions. So thank you to everyone who tweeted us last week. We didn't get to our Twitter questions last week, but we've incorporated them into this week's show as well. What's your Twitter handle, Sarah, if people want to tweet you a question?
_SJBlack.
And mine is @Nat_Edwards. So tweet us. We really want your feedback and we're happy to take any questions. So the first one's from Todd, Sarah. How much pressure is on Freo coach Michelle Cowan this season? Does she keep her job if Freo are bottom two again? It's a great question.
It is. Really pertinent seeing we're talking about Fremantle this week. I think Michelle's going to be not lucky, but there is the mitigating factor of injuries. And also Fremantle lost quite a few players as marquee players last year, so they don't have the very best of West Australian talent at their disposal. I think she should be given more regardless of what happens to Fremantle this year.
She is a proven coach in the past. She is one of the best in the country, so I do think she's earned that right.
And with expansion coming up as well, it's good to have a steady hand to see you through those sort of years, I think.
Next question is from Barry. Thanks, Bazza. The competition will be so even this season. Who plays off in the grand final? So Melbourne is your tip to win the whole competition. Who are they playing off against?
I think it might be Carlton, actually. They've gone all out in the trade period, the draft period, so hopefully they can back that up on field. What about you, Nat?
I'm going to say a Melbourne-Adelaide grand final.
Don't write off the rain.
I like the story of back-to-back, and I think maybe the Crows, will get there, but maybe just fall short and Melbourne win. I barrack for the story. I'm a journalist. Mark would like to know, what's the scheduling like for the grand final this year?
So the grand final, like last year, will be on the Saturday afternoon of round one of the men's season. So that's the...
24th of March, I think?
Something along those lines there, yeah. Hopefully the early afternoon, there's a clear gap in the men's fixture there. Just conveniently happens to be a clear gap.
So convenient.
And the team who finishes top of the ladder will be hosting that grand final. There was an article in The Age today that the Gabba will be available this year should Brisbane make it.
Good news for the Lions. You obviously don't think they're going to make it, Sarah, because they're not in your tips? No.
All right. Prove me wrong, Lions.
Exactly. All right, and the last question today, thank you to everyone who tweeted us, is from Catherine, and she wants to know what we think of North Melbourne calling their AFLW team the North Melbourne Tassie Kangaroos, which is a mouthful, but she wants to know, should they just say the Tassie Kangaroos instead? But she's a North Melbourne supporter, so she would like the long-winded name. Has that been 100% decided?
That was the name that was announced when they were given the all clear, when they were given the license, effectively. It'll be interesting to see how it's shortened over time, I reckon. What sort of variations are we going to get?
Let's just go with Ruse.
Ruse?
It's just Tassie? So much. Well, I get it that, obviously the relationship between Tasmania is really important and their involvement, but also North Melbourne is based... In Victoria. So the club itself is not going to want to lose its identity as North Melbourne. So I think it's a difficult position to be in because the name is really, really long. Yes. I think if you just say the Ruse, and the jumper anyway that I've seen has, it says Tassie and it has the picture of the Ruse on it. So Tasmania features quite strongly in the jumper as well, but it is very much North Melbourne colours and the same logo and all that. So
these things sort of naturally evolve over time.
They do.
People find out what works for them. So I think that's a to be confirmed, Catherine.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your Twitter questions. Don't forget to tweet us for next week's show. After round one, I'm sure there'll be heaps of questions coming for you,
yes.
Sarah. Finally, just to round out the show, it's time for Social Stalkers. Who have you been stalking this week, Sarah?
I've been stalking Adelaide Ruck, Rhiannon Metcalf.
Oh, yes. What's she been up to?
So the Crows actually went away during the long weekend. It was a group of the players.
Bonding.
Yes. So they went down to the beach and camped there. And the caption on Rhiannon's was something along the lines of, "We're spending our last footy-free weekend with the footy girls." So that's what I like to see.
I like that. That's cool. Well, this week I was stalking Melissa Hickey from the Melbourne Football Club. And I'm super jealous of Mel because she got to meet Caroline Wozniacki, who on the weekend
Australian Open champion, no
won
less.
The Australian Open, her first ever Grand Slam title. She becomes the first Danish woman to win a Grand Slam, or first Danish player. She's friends with the Royals. I love Caroline Wozniacki. I'm a big tennis nut. And I was so jealous to see this picture pop up in Mel's Instagram where she's standing there with Caroline Wozniacki and the trophy and the Daphne Akhurst Memorial Cup, and I was very jealous.
Yeah, that's very exciting for Mel. And, yeah, I can imagine how much you'd be freaking out if you were in that situation, Nat.
I don't know if I'd be able to speak if I was in that situation. Although
you probably have 100 questions to ask her, being a journalist.
Yeah, that, and I want to see her engagement ring because it is. If you haven't seen it, go on Caroline Wozniacki's Instagram. It is ginormous. So she's engaged to a former NBA basketballer and David Lee. It's ridiculous. All right, anyway. That aside,
back to the footy.
We're not talking about tennis, even though I could talk about tennis all day. All right, well, round one, just a few days away. We'll have all of the news and views right here on afl.com.au. We're live streaming all of the games on our website and, of course, on the AFLW official app, which was launched last week. So if you haven't got that yet, make sure you download it on your phone. It is a really cool app.
Yeah, and it looks incredibly useful too. I can't wait for the games to get underway, and I can use all the stats features. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, everyone, enjoy week one of AFLW Season 2, and we look forward to having your company again next week.